My guest at this time is Virginia Republican Congressman Dave Bratt. He represents the Commonwealth's 7th Congressional District, and he joins me now to explain the Republican approach to repealing and replacing Obamacare. It was one of the top priorities of President-elect Donald Trump and certainly is of the new Republican Congress. And we're going to speak for the next few minutes about exactly how that's going to get done. And Congressman, it's always good to have you with us. Thanks for your time today.
Yeah, you bet, Greg. Great to be on.
Well, last week there were important votes in the House and Senate that kind of got the ball rolling on this. Explain what was achieved with that vote.
Yeah, so I'm out in the district this week, and a lot of people think we already had a repeal or replacement vote. And so all we did last week was have the budget resolution vote. And so you have to have a budget in order to move forward on what's called reconciliation, which is kind of some technical jargon. But basically, reconciliation it is what allowed Obamacare to be passed in the first place with just 51 votes in the Senate. And so no Republicans voted for it. And so now the Republicans are going to use the same reconciliation process to repeal and replace. And so the details of that have not been worked out, to put it mildly. And so there's a little angst from all sides on that. What's the repeal going to look like? What's the time frame? Is it going to be done in 2 years, 3 years? And then what's the replacement? And so in the meantime, the Democrats are playing politics, you know, talking about millions are going to be left without any coverage. And that's nonsense. Trump went out and our team, Tom Price, was my budget chairman. Now he's going to be head of HHS. And he has a plan. We have several plans, Paul Ryan, A Better Way. And so if people are nervous about being left in the lurch, they shouldn't be. There's all sorts of plans out there that show that we're going to actually end up with a better product that will provide insurance. And, for example, I have an HSA account project with Senator Flake. And so people say, well, Dave, the HSA doesn't provide any money. But I've been out in public, and Rand Paul has been out in public. Some of us are in favor of providing a catastrophic insurance package for everybody, and then providing everybody with an HSA and parking several thousand dollars in there for everybody, and for providing pre-existing, you know, pools at the state level, high-risk pools that were already established by a majority of states before Obamacare. And so the primary advantage of the HSA model is that people have their own money. And when you go out and shop with your own money, you're going to find the best deal. And that will drive down the cost curve. And that's the major thing we have to do here, because it's not just a health care issue we're talking about. Medicare, Social Security, Medicaid, prescription drugs, all of those, the main driver of all those entitlement programs is health care. And so if we don't get it right, we have a once-in-a-century opportunity for real. To get this right, Medicare and Social Security are insolvent in 15 years if we don't get this right. And the kids will be left with nothing. And I taught those kids for 20 years at the college level, and that's why I got into this business, is to make sure we get this right. And so that's a rough outline of what we're going after.
We're talking with Virginia Congressman Dave Bratt. And sir, I've heard some reports that the repeal would kick in maybe in 2 years because insurance companies and states are already planning rates for 2018. And so you need a little bit of a window in order to make the transition more smooth. What's your idea on when that should happen? And also, how much in tandem should the replacement bill be with the repeal vote?
Yeah, so the basic framework there that most people were operating under was the 2015 bill that the House had passed and the Senate had passed, and we put it on the president's desk, and that said the repeal would be done in 2 years. And now some folks are getting a little wobbly, and the problem with the 2 years is that'll occur as our reelection occurs. And so politics is going to get mixed in with policy, and that's never a good model for the, you know, to do what's in the best interest of the country.
So you like sooner rather than later.
Yeah, sooner rather than later. And then if you put it out 3 years or so, then you're in the middle of a presidential election. And then some folks, well, you can't do it now. And so that's the debt problem. That's the entitlement, $100 trillion problem. We keep putting it off and kicking the can down the road. And this one, boy, we promised to the American people this repeal and replace. It's our number one promise since 2010. And so I just hope we get it done and do it timely, because we're going to be judged on that outcome.
The Democrats say you don't have a replacement. There have certainly been replacement bills. Tom Price, who is, as you mentioned, nominated to be the Health and Human Services Secretary, has offered replacement bills for a number of years. But how close do you think the conference is to settling on what would be in a replacement bill?
Oh, I think they're getting close. Kellyanne Conway was on yesterday on the Sunday shows and made it, you know, Medicaid, block grants to the state, lines, HSAs, those pieces will be in there. But you can't answer too much in specific until we know the rough outline. And so the Democrats are saying we don't have a plan. That's true. We have nine of them. And they're saying, you know, 30 million people are going to be left without care. But what they don't acknowledge is the status quo and any alternative plan on their side, right? The average family of four health insurance premium now by Kaiser is out to $17,000 per year. And then you got deductibles in the I'm being generous and kind, 3,000 a year to 5,000 deductibles. And then premiums are going up 20% in Virginia, 50% in other states. And all the entitlements, Medicare and Social Security, are going insolvent. And not a word from the Democrat side on these major issues where the kids will end up with no systems whatsoever in 50 years. Not a word, just crickets. And so, of course, everybody wants more of everything at the current time, but the sacrifice there is our kids, the next generation. And so we need to spend more time explaining to people what really is at stake here. And Obamacare promised to lower the cost curve, and it has not done that. And that's the primary beef that we have and that the nation has with that program. It's not politics. Just look at the numbers. It's just health care policy, and the numbers make it very clear.
Speaking of the next generation, Congressman, and you also mentioned that you're working alongside with Rand Paul on different aspects of this push to repeal and replace. Rand Paul was the only Republican in the Senate not to vote for the resolution we talked about at the beginning of our conversation. He and Congressman like Justin Amash say essentially Republicans are agreeing to add over $9 trillion to the debt by adopting this strategy. You obviously surrender no ground on the fiscal conservative side, and you voted for it. Explain why you believe they're wrong here.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, I mean, it's a budget resolution, and they're right. We chose the current CBO baseline numbers, and it blows huge holes in the budget. I think that was done to offer the Senate a little bit of latitude in order to get the vote right here. And so it's not the optimal thing to do, but on the other hand, it's not a budget, right? I'm on the budget committee, and we never met to put together a budget here. So this is just a vehicle to get that process going. And then leadership has promised us in public, and that's my usual criterion. It's got to be on paper in public that we're going to do another budget in 4 months, and that one we'll get back to normal balancing in 10 years, and maybe sooner than that. That's the hope of some of us, that we can make more of a pledge to commit ourselves. We always make the 10-year pledge and then, you know, kind of back off in the current year, and then the next year we say we're going to do a 10-year pledge, right? So we made these promises in, you know, 2010. 6 years later, we should be 6 years down the line with 4 years left to balance. And so there's a little gamesmanship going on, and we got to do better for the sake of the kids.
So what you're saying is, based on current numbers, yes, it's $9 trillion in extra debt, but the current numbers don't reflect the reality going down the road.
Yeah, that's right. If you just look at the specifics in the former budget resolutions, right, which is the symbolic budget that we put together every year, when you put in Obamacare repeal and Medicare reforms and et cetera, that's why we get to balance. And so some of those moves were left off to provide the tough votes in the Senate a little more latitude to make sure we get this thing across the finish line.
Last question for you, Congressman, in our remaining time. You and I have talked a number of times about the desperate need to reform entitlements. The president-elect campaigned vigorously on not really addressing that. How do you plan to change his mind?
Well, I think the whole Republican conference will probably weigh in on that, because Trump is right that the entitlements are the third rail, right? And so there's high risk, and then the Democrats come out with the, you know, grandmother off the cliff routine, which is just the height of irresponsibility. And so he knows the politics fine and dandy. But for him to move forward on increasing defense spending and doing infrastructure, et cetera, the only way we can balance in 10 years is if we reform some of the entitlement programs, the mandatory spending programs, because they're written in law, and you have to change that law. And so Paul Ryan has been thinking on these issues for years, and we always assure the seniors in a 10-year window that they will not be harmed in any way by our policies, right? So it's not cuts to current seniors or any of that. It's just reforming the system. And usually it offers a choice to people. You can stay on the current, or we'll give you a better choice, and it's up to you, right? And so that's kind of the free market logic at its best. Give the people a choice. If they choose the reform and they're better off with it and it helps the country, that's a win-win. Instead of a guaranteed loser on the Democratic side, they have no plan, and they have guaranteed insolvency of our major programs without any alternative plans. Because you can hear me say, we got the Price plan, we got the Rand Paul plan. What plans do they have? And the answer is nothing. And so I think people can go out and fact check that and find out who's telling the truth.
Congressman, we'll leave it there. Sir, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. We look forward to the next time.
Hey, thanks, Greg. And if people want to check out in more detail some of that, I've written it up on my website at davebratt.com.
DaveBratt.com. Can't get an easier spelling than that. Congressman, talk to you later.
That's right. All right, thanks. Thanks so much, Greg.
You bet, sir. Virginia Republican Congressman Dave Bratt. He represents his state's 7th Congressional District, member of the House Budget Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.